Weeks Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview. For the first time since TT 2025, I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next half hour, we're bringing to you the latest sporting action on Ireland and further afield in tonight's programme. As the 2025 Ireland Games edge closer, the Alapan Women's National Football Team return to action on home soil this weekend. Having made Manx sporting history in boxing, we catch up with the Ireland fighter who's recently become a WBC champion. We take a look into what's been happening and what's in store in the ever-busy world of Manx athletics, and one of the major events on the Alapan cycling calendar is also on the agenda this Sunday. That is all to come this evening. Very good evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview for the first time in 3 weeks here on Manx Radio. Hope you're getting over those post-TT blues. I know I've certainly had a bit of a time trying to shake them off myself, but never mind. In the sporting world across the Isle of Man, plenty of big events coming up on the horizon over the coming weeks and months, and also in the more immediate future as well. And that is where we're going to start this evening, taking a look into the Manx footballing world, because tomorrow, the Isle of Man Women's National Football Team returns to action on home soil. The Manx squad will host Kendall Town Ladies in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas on Saturday, kicking off at 3 p.m. This is expected to be one of the final bits of preparation the Ireland side has before jetting off to the 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney from the 12th to the 18th of July. Well, ahead of Saturday's clash, I caught up earlier today with Isle of Man Women's Team captain Becky Corkish and manager Wayne Leesey. Wayne, actually, first of all, I think congratulations are in order, becoming a father again in recent weeks, so I imagine it's been a very busy time for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Becoming father again at the end of April, so for 4 weeks after that I didn't think about anything else. I didn't think about football or work at all, which was quite a nice break. But now everything's kind of caught up with me a bit now, and lots to organise before we go to the Ireland Games.
Before we get to the Ireland Games, of course, Becky, there is a matter to attend to this weekend. Kendall Town, so new opposition really, isn't it?
Yeah, new opposition. We've not played them before. And honestly, we don't really know what they're going to bring. We don't know whether it's going to be super competitive. We don't know whether it's going to be a nice little game for us to warm up before the Ireland game. So I'm excited to see what happens. And obviously playing football over here, we know our competition week in, week out. So it'll be really exciting to be able to play against a team we have no idea about.
And Wayne, a lot of the time, both the men's and women's teams have to travel off Ireland to take part in friendlies or competitions. How does it differ preparing for a home match instead of having to think about all the travel and logistics?
Well, first of all, we're not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get the boat. So it's certainly better preparation for the players in terms of having a good night's sleep beforehand. It's a fantastic opportunity to allow the players, friends and family to come down and watch what a talented group of players we have for the Ireland.
And Becky, recently as well, you had a great test over at Accrington Stanley as well. That was a very close fought game, if you like. It seemed to be played in great spirit as well. What did you all learn from that you can take into this game and this summer?
I think fitness. Fitness goes a long way with football, especially in the women's game as well. We've obviously been training really hard lately to up the fitness and to up the football ability. Having a break over TT didn't help, but it definitely made the girls realise with the Accrington game, no, we need to keep this fitness going over the TT fortnight, because we don't want to... We were already on the back foot with not knowing that we were going to go to the Ireland game, so now we know that we had to dig deep and work harder.
And with this game, Wayne, as well, like you've both mentioned there, is the fact that Ireland games is a massive priority coming up in the next few weeks. But just for this particular fixture, what would you like to see?
I'd like to see things we worked on at training being implemented into a real match situation. How the girls can problem solve in terms of during the match. Like Corky says, we don't know what we're going to come up against, so that will dictate how we play and can we change the style of play depending on opposition. So it gives us a real good test in a real life situation.
And again, on that point of it being new opposition as well, you know, does it kind of refresh what you all do as a team as well, that sometimes you learn a bit, whether it's tactically or little bits during the game, that you can always pick up on as players to take forward and improve your own game?
I think so, and I think, like saying before, we know a team's week in, week out, so you kind of know how we're going to play and you can stick to that for the duration of the game because you know what changes are going to be made, but it kind of keeps you on your toes when we play against a team that we're not 100% sure on how they're going to do. It means that the management, the guys, they're going to have to think on their feet if something changes and we're not sure how to deal with it, so I think it's a good test for both the players and the management.
And this links in very well with the Ireland games, because we'll come up against opposition that, well, two teams we've never played before. So we don't know how they're going to play either. So this gives us a real test to be able to, like I said, problem solve during the match.
And on the squad itself, there's not too many changes really from the one that went to Guernsey in 2023. So Becky, from your side of things, as a captain, I guess, and knowing the group the way you do, how reassuring is it that you've got a few fresh faces in there, but there seems to be a core of players that have been at the heart of that for the last couple of years?
Definitely. The core just gets stronger and stronger every time I see them, and I'm so proud of them. They all work hard, and obviously all of the girls in that team are reliable. And then to see some fresh faces come through, the likes of Pippa, who has only just turned 16, and to be able to get in the Ireland squad just before the squad was announced was brilliant. She had such like a different kind of style of play that we're used to, so it just makes the team a little bit more versatile.
It's been, I have to say, Rob, it's been very difficult to choose that squad, much harder than it was 2 years ago. You've got a nucleus now of players coming through, like Cookie just said, of Pippa and Rosabel Cardi, who have just turned 16. You've got those junior quality players coming through now, which is just pushing the whole squad, never mind the 20 that I've chosen, but a nucleus of probably 30, 35 players that could get into the squad. And it's just pushing everyone to improve.
And again, coming back to the game this weekend with what we've just spoken about with the squad there, for these younger players, again, coming back to the idea of an unknown opposition, really, what do you think are the biggest things they'll learn from a fixture like this weekend?
I think that's a tough one.
Certainly for the younger ones, it's definitely good experience. I mean, going back to Pippa and Rosabel, for example, they had the Accrington match, which I'm sure that was really good for them. They'll be able to get that extra support from their family and friends this weekend, and hopefully that'll give them the confidence to go and play.
And of course, Becky, there's nothing riding on the results as well, but you know, first and foremost, how important it will be that you kind of give a good account of yourselves in whatever way that proves to be, given we are so close to the Ireland Games.
Yeah, and we don't get to play at home very often with a home crowd, and like Wayne said, with our friends and family supporting us. So we want to win, of course we do, that's why we play the game, obviously to enjoy it, but we want to win at the end of the day. And we know that we're looking at other teams and what friendlies they're playing and what results they've got, and we know they'll be doing the same to us. And we want to show that we're coming to the Ireland Games, and the friendlies that we're playing against, we're performing well, so they need to watch out when we get there.
And finally, Wayne, just on a longer term picture a little bit really, when we've got new teams coming over to the Ireland, as happens year after year, how good is it a way of showcasing the quality of football the quality of women's football on the Isle of Man when you come up against these teams that they see you as good competition as well?
I think it's great, and it'd be nice for those teams to go back to the UK and talk to other teams in their area and say, oh, we went to the Isle of Man, they're a really good team, it was a good challenge, we had a great time while we were there, and we'd love to get more teams over this way rather than us having to go to the UK all the time.
That's Isle of Man Women's National Team captain Becky Corkish and the team's manager Wayne Leesey ahead of the tie at the Bowl tomorrow. The Isle of Man ladies team versus Kendalltown ladies in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas Saturday, kicking off at 3 p.m. And also, if you're planning on going down and showing your support for the team, entry will be free for spectators.
Manx Radio Sport.
Elsewhere, and amid all the motorsport action on Ireland over the previous fortnight, Manx sporting history was made on the other side of the world in boxing. Ireland-born fighter Sam Rennie defeated Asia Ullerman in Australia on Saturday, on the 31st of May, to be crowned WBC Australasia Silver Super Featherweight Champion. Well, brother of fellow Isle of Man pro boxer Matthew Rennie, Sam's title win also saw him extend his undefeated record in the professional ranks to 4 victories. Well, following a historic night for him, I've been catching up with Sam, who's based in Australia, to find out just what winning that title meant to him and his immediate plans going forward.
Yeah, again, it's one of them. I'm still struggling to find words to justify it, you know, and make it sound as great as it feels, because it truly was the best night of my life. Like, even the, you know, the build-up was tense and everyone kept on talking about, you know, this is your chance to make history, and there was a lot of pressure on it. And you know, it's just one of them feelings. Like, even now, when I look back on it, it's almost hard to believe it actually happened. And I almost became a bit numb on the lead up to the fight, because I didn't want the situation to get the better of me, and it was hard to soak up the moment. And then now, when I look back on it, it's almost like I don't believe it even happened. So it's hard to find the words to explain it. But yeah, to think, you know, throughout history, you know, my kids and my grandkids one day, and you know, and so on, they'll always speak about Manx boxing, and the first ever Manx champion was Sam Rennie. Like, that's just a crazy feeling, you know, to say that out loud. That's just it's surreal, honestly.
How proud do you think the Isle of Man should be of not just you, but Manx boxing in general with the way it is at the moment?
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope they are proud. Like, Matty has been leading the Isle of Man boxing scene for as long as I can remember. You know, he's been sort of showing the way for everyone. And, you know, sometimes you do feel like you don't get the support you deserve. But maybe for me, I think it's a bit different being so far away from home. You feel a bit out of sight, out of mind. But I do hope that I've done the island proud, and I hope other boxers, you know, young lads at my old club, the New Horizon Boxing Club under John Kane and Christian, I hope them young boxers can look up to me and Matty, and you know, if we can do it, they can do it.
Turning professional as a boxer in what is a very crowded and competitive market, what's made Australia such a good fit for you in the last couple of years?
Do you know, mainly just because it's starting to catch up now. It's starting to catch up to American boxing and the UK boxing, and they're very professional in their ways. I started off in Sydney, but I've got a new promoter, Tony Tolge, and he sees me as a golden ticket at the minute. Like, he believes in my ability. He likes the way I talk. He likes the way I handle myself as a person. And, you know, with me and him teaming up together, the sky is the limit. And, things like Japan. Japan's a big boxing scene for super featherweights or lighter guys like myself. So, the likes of Japan we're aiming for after we take on a few more development fights. And then again, America, you know, I want to fight back in the UK, and I would love, I've said it so many times and I'll continue to say it until it happens, but I would love for me and my brother to double headline a show in the Isle of Man. And Australian boxing is really catching up, and I've got such a good manager and promoter in my corner that, you know, there's literally no limit to what we can do. Anytime I come with a crazy idea, like, for example, fighting for a title 4 fights into my pro career, anytime I come up with this crazy idea, Tony Tolge is just backing me, and he's on board. He says, yeah, 100%, let's go for it. So there's literally no limit to what I can do out here. And that freedom is why I do so well in my career. Like, I'm 4 fights into my career so far. I've stepped up in opposition every time. I haven't boxed 1 journeyman, you know, nobody's came in just to get beat. And I haven't even lost a round as a pro boxer yet. Like, I've won every single round. So, you know, 2 knockouts back to back. The sky really is the limit.
Looking forward then, when are you hoping that you'll next be back in the ring?
Well, 2 days after I won the title, I was straight on the phone to Tony Tolge, my manager. And I was saying, what's next? And we've got a fight date, August 29th. I can't speak on the opponent yet, but it's a huge, huge, huge step up in opposition. Like, you know, it would be a real tough task and a big test for me. But that's what I'm in the sport for. You know, I want to see how far I can go, and I want to push myself. And there's an interview recently about me where I was talking about maybe I am delusional and we don't know and we'll find out. And then obviously I walked through that last opponent like it was nothing, where that should have been the test. So now we're going up against an opponent. Obviously, I can't say who, but this opponent will be a real, real test. And again, if I come through with flying colours, then... yeah, we just have to keep up in the opposition each time, and that's what I'm excited to do.
In your view, where would you like to see yourself at the end of 2025?
You know, I'm already the champion of 2 different continents. There's 1 more belt I would like to get before the year ends. I feel like I've got a bit of unfinished business. I skipped the Western Australia title and I went straight to the big one, but I wouldn't mind just taking a backstep, you know, I just feel like I've got a bit of unfinished business there. So if I can come back to the island at the end of the year to visit my family and visit the old boxing gym, if I can have 2 titles wrapped around my shoulder, that would be the year ticked off.
Manx Radio Sport. Manx boxer and newly crowned WBC Australasia Silver Super Featherweight Champion Sam Rennie there. Moving on, and as you'd imagine, over the last 2 weeks, plenty of attention has been on what's been going on at TT 2025. Well, in and around that, however, the Isle of Man's athletes have been impressing in their respective events further afield. And to find out a bit more about what's been going on recently in the Isle of Man athletics scene, we've been catching up once again with local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths. Dave, thank you very much for joining us once again. Now, naturally, so much tension over the 2 weeks previous has been on what's been going on at TT 2025, but in the last few weeks, it's worth pointing out we've had some very positive developments in the world of Manx athletics. Let's start with one that kind of broke, well, only in the last day or so, really, and that was some great news for one of the Isle of Man's standout athletes, David Mullarkey.
Yeah, David Mullarkey has been selected for his first Great Britain Vest, and he's been selected to run the 5,000 metres in the European Team Championships, which will take place in Madrid from the 27th to the 29th of June. And David, in my opinion, has been very close, possibly even a little bit unlucky, not to get a Great Britain selection previously. He went very, very close about 3 years ago to being picked in the Great Britain cross-country team for the European Championships. He missed out by one place in the selection trial, as incidentally did Sarah Astin in the same in actually the same event. And it's really nice that both Sarah and David have now both got Great Britain selections this year. You know, it's taken them a long time. It's been a heck of a lot of dedication has gone into it. But David thoroughly deserves this opportunity. He's been at the sharp end of the sport remarkably since he was an under-9 athlete. It's very rare that you get athletes who come into the sport at such a young age as he did. Quite often you'll get athletes who excel at younger ages who maybe just find the stress of it all a little bit too much as they go through the age groups. It's not been the case with David. He's been outstanding all through the age groups and probably more than ever since he's become a senior athlete. And it's just been up and up and up. And I think it will continue to go up, to be honest. He's a phenomenal athlete.
Indeed, and we wish him all the best out of the European Athletics Team Championships taking place in Spain later this month on what, incidentally, of course, is his senior international debut. There's been plenty of athletics action elsewhere as well, hasn't there?
There has. Not on the Isle of Man, of course, because athletics tends to stop over the TT fortnight. But again, just on Wednesday evening this week, we had two of our Island Games representatives, middle distance runners Sam Perry and Ryan Corran, both travelled down to Loughborough to take part in the BMC meeting. That's the British Milers Club down there. Now, these particular meetings are geared towards athletes running fast times. They're seeded in that way so that athletes will be up against other athletes in a similar standard. They generally have pacemakers as well. And Sam actually won the 800 metres A race, which is a great achievement in itself, in a time of 1:53.06, which is a personal best by 1 second, which might not sound a lot, but over 800 metres, when you get to the level that he's at, 1 second is actually a lot. And that is going to make him really competitive when he gets to the Island Games. There's no doubt about that. And Ryan Corran was running in the 1500 metres, and he ran a 5 second PB. He ran a time of 4:37, which again is fantastic progress for Ryan. He'll probably be a little bit frustrated that he didn't just get under that 4 minute mark, but I'm sure that will come before too long. And again, you know, he should, in his second Island Games, as it is for Sam, you know, I think Ryan can be, you know, that'll give him a lot of confidence going into the Island Games as well, which is great to see. And then we also had three of our top athletes, including one of our Island Games athletes, took part in the Swansea Half Marathon last Sunday. And Ollie Lockley, who isn't going to the Island Games this year, but he finished third in that race behind two international athletes. So that was obviously a really good performance by Ollie, although he didn't actually feel as he was running quite at his best. He got a little bit isolated behind the leading duo, and he was well ahead of the chasing pack, so it was almost like a time trial for Ollie. So it wasn't a personal best time, but to finish third in an event with 6,000 athletes in is a tremendous result, and also a great performance by his wife Erica, who's best known as a race walker, and she's achieved great success in race walking over recent years. She's recently made the transition to running. She's making really good progress, and she ran her first sub 90 minutes half marathon. She ran 89:28 to finish in 69th place in the women's race. And also ahead of her in that race was one of our Island Games representatives, Dawn Atherton, who finished 37th in the women's race in a time of 1:25.44. And I believe there was quite a strong headwind for about half that race as well. So again, that'll stand Dawn in really good stead for the Island Games.
I know we've already talked about the Island Games in recent weeks and months, but for these athletes now, with the window being so tight now between now and the Island Games starting just a few weeks, what, if anything, more can these athletes do? Or is it just about, at this point, just keeping yourself fit?
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I think the really hard training has probably been done at this point. I think that, I mean, some of the athletes will still have races beforehand, you know, just as a sort of fine tuning, really. But I think if you're not fully fit at this stage, then it's probably a little bit late to to do that. But I'm sure all the coaches will have, you know, they'll have had all the training geared towards the Island Games. The race plan will be geared towards the Island Games as well. So really, it's just fine-tuning now, getting mentally prepared as well as physically.
And just finally, let's look forward to the next couple of weeks. Of course, just over a week from now, there is rather a big event coming up in terms of not just the Isle of Man Athletics calendar, but events calendar, if you'd like. But not just that, but other things as well. What have we got coming up?
Yeah, well, this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we've got the Manx Harriers Track and Field Championships. That's over 2 days, as I say, at the NSC. Entries have closed for that, that. Then on Wednesday next week, we move on to the next round of the Fell Running League, which is one of the shortest races on the calendar. It's the Carrigan race, which is basically a very short and sharp ascent from the Ingebrecht Valley up through the plantation, through up to the summit of Carrigan and back down. It's probably only about 2.5 to 3 miles, but it's really exciting. Next Friday, we have the latest round of the Western AC Dave Phillips running series, which is based down at Peel on the promenade.
Manx Radio Sport. One of the big events on the Isle of Man's competitive cycling calendar is taking place this weekend. The Fred Kelly Memorial Road Race is expected to feature some of the top local competitors on Sunday, the 15th of June. Race coordinator Jim Cotty has been telling us what he thinks makes the race a special one during the season.
The finish, which is up Thalty Weald from Sobey Crossroads. It used to go all the way up to the bungalow and then hit the TT course and go right down to Hilbury to finish. But logistics, as in the past, have stopped us having such a long race. It used to start at the grandstand and it used to head south and come back along the spine of the island. And then I said, go up Thalty Weald. It was a 75 mile race back in the 70s and 80s. But I said, logistically, we can't have people riding along main roads anymore. So we just have to have it a shortened race. And it now starts from the Sobey Reservoir and gets neutralized down to Sandygate. Then we do a lapse of what we call the Jerby Circuit. And then it heads back up through Sobey Crossroads and back up and finishes back at the reservoir. It's quite a tough race. It's a 50-mile race. And the climb makes it what it is. It's still a tough race.
The Jerby Circuit, as it's known, if you like, it can be quite a fast circuit, but how much do you have to bear that in mind, knowing that you've got that really steep climb right at the end?
Well, I suppose, I've never done the Fred Kelly. I've been lucky enough to be organising it for many, many years, so I've never actually done it. But I imagine, unless you're in top form, then I suppose you'd have to save something for that climb, because it is quite a tough climb.
In terms of some of the competitors we might see in there, who might be the ones to keep an eye out on this year?
Well, Zach Walker has just got a late entry. He's probably somebody maybe tipped for this. Young Tyler Haney. He's not so young anymore. He's a senior now. Tyler's been racing well off irons, and he could be a threat, even though he's more of a time trialist than a road racer. But there are a couple of people to look out for. The one thing I am pleased about is that the 10 riders that were taking away to Orkney for the Island Games, they're all entered, because this is the last chance to stretch their legs on the Isle of Man before they go.
And just on that point about the Island Games, you sort of half covered it there, but the fact that for some of these riders as well, how important is it, this last bit of preparation, if you like, before they do head to Orkney?
Well, it is just preparation, but it'll give them a chance. Although there might be one more flat race for them up at Jerby prior to them going away on the 11th of July. But this will be a tester for them, certainly will.
Manx Radio Sport. And finally tonight, we're well into the Isle of Man's latest golf campaign, and we're currently sandwiched between two of the biggest events in the Manx season. In what looks to be another busy campaign, with the small matter of this summer's Island Games thrown into the mix, we've been finding out a little bit about what's been going on in the local game recently with Daryl Collister. Daryl, thanks very much for taking a few minutes to catch up with us once again. Now, of course, over the last couple of weeks at the time we're speaking, a lot of attention has been taken up with TT 2025, but in and around that, the Isle of Man golf scene's been thriving as usual over the last couple of weeks and months. So, first off, quite generally, really, from the golf side of things here on the Isle of Man, domestically, what's been happening recently?
Domestically, we've had the Scratch League has been up and running and kicking off, which is the competition between all the clubs. And then we had the 72-hole Stroke Play Championship, which took place across four clubs: King Edward Bay, Peel, Ramsey and Mount Murray.
In terms of both the Scratch League and the Stroke Play Championships, in terms of demand to take part, has it been healthy as it has been over the past few years?
I think so, yeah. Back to the four rounds over 4 days format for the 72-holer, which probably got a lot of people playing, but probably not as many as last year in terms of actual full completion. We're on two lots of 36 holers last year, which meant it was just 2 days for people to compete in. So I think the amount that finished it last year was more than this year, but they had more playing in it this year, but not necessarily the full 72. So it was good to have some new names and stuff playing in it, which is what we got in the format this year.
And in terms of how the Stroke Play Championships played out, of those who did go on to complete it, for those who don't know yet, who were the sort of big winners, if you like?
So Sarah Blackman won the ladies 72, holding off Emma Noon. She started off with a great opening round 70 at King Edward Bay and managed to keep the others at bay and hold on to win at the end, which was great. New name to Isle of Man Golf, really. She was saying she hadn't played in any Isle of Man Golf comps or any comps outside of Castletown. So a fellow Castletown member like myself, it's great to see her entering and competing in Isle of Man Golf events and yeah, winning in her first attempt, which is good on the ladies' side. On the men's side, I managed to win it this year, holding off Jamie Arneil and Peter Glover. Peter Glover was on the final shot of the tournament, which was the 11th of Mount Morey, actually hole-in-oned it. So that was good. I managed to get a beer out of him.
And not just for yourself, but if we're talking for the likes of Sarah winning the ladies' title and stroke play championships as well, two new faces compared to last year winning those respective competitions. I know you, for example, are very well established in the golf side of things, but when you talk about Sarah Blackman, a new face to this sort of championship as well. How important is it that these competitions, when we have new players coming in, are maybe able to shake things up a little bit?
I think so, yeah. I think there is more interest and more juniors and women starting to take up the game in their respective clubs. And yeah, it's good to see them starting to enter and compete on the more domestic stage rather than just at club level. So it's great to see that. And my ask would be that we have more of those that are interested and enjoy the game to compete outside of club level and compete at the sort of Isle of Man championship level.
Now, that took place recently. Looking a little bit ahead, well, another big event on the Isle of Man's golf calendar coming up, the 2025 Isle of Man Championships.
Yes, yeah, so not long away from that kicking off. A week on Saturday is the qualifying for the men, and a week on Sunday the qualifying for the women. And this year it's back at Mount Morey where it was last year, which is a strange thing. I'm not sure that's ever happened in Allen Championship history that it's been back to back at the same venue, but for whatever reason that is, that's where we are. But yeah, great to be competing again at Mount Morey this year.
Looking a few weeks ahead, of course, there will be a few now preparing for the 2025 Island Games in Orkney as well. So not just the Isle of Man Championships, but everything, I suppose, that they can do between now and then. How important are these next few weeks going to be in terms of just trying to get yourself in the right form and the right rhythm going to Orkney?
Yeah, it's a busy spell. Yeah, build of Island Champs. If you have a run in the championship through to the final semis, that's a big long week. And then it's only sort of a week recovery until the four of us will be going away. So me, Liam, Cowan, Chris Neen and Rob Noon going on the 11th. We're driving up to Orkney. So yeah, a lot of energy conservation, but also keeping your game in check, ready to compete in the Island Games up in Orkney. So we'll do some after the champs. The four of us will probably get together, do some sort of training and practicing together to get ourselves acclimatized and ready for Orkney, what that has in store for us.
That's all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this evening. Have yourself a wonderful Friday and a wonderful weekend, whatever you're doing. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.